Good afternoon. We are continuing our study of the book The Infinite Way by Joel Goldsmith. And we're on the chapter called Soul, S-O-U-L, Soul. And he begins by saying, the soul is a part of man which is little known and only seldom realized. Often, those in the depth of some deep sorrow break through the mist of material sense to the recesses of their inmost being. Here they discover the soul, or reality of being. They become soul conscious or consciously aware of the reality of being, their soul. And they find new values, new resources, new and different strength, and an existence of an entirely different nature. So, often those in the depth of some deep sorrow, as reported by John in the 20th chapter, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away. And then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, to John. And she said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. This is Mary, in deep sorrow. They have taken her Lord away, and she doesn't know where he is. She thought that she was looking at the reality of Jesus. And so she thought he was gone from the tomb. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. They ran both together, and the other disciple, John, did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head was not lying with the linen clothes, but was wrapped together in a place by itself. They knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own homes. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in to the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now here they're trying to tell us something, because Here is Mary Magdalene, the prostitute, that was about to be stoned to death. And yet, Jesus looked at the crowd and said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And everyone, being convicted of their conscience, left. Yet she stood there, naked and afraid. "Woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." This was the Christ of her being. She thought it was a man. But I ask you, if she thought it was a man, if you thought it was a man that just saved you from a horrible death, would you, could you ever forget his face? No, you would never forget his face. Yet, she turned back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. This is telling us something. It's telling us that, well, what did Joel say here? Often those in the depth of some deep sorrow break through the mist of material sense to the recesses of their inmost being, and they discover the soul, or the reality of being. Now that is what's happening here. That is exactly what's happening here. She looks and thinks that this is the gardener. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, please tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." The soul of Mary, the reality of her being, says one word: Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, "Master." She has found the Master within. She has found her own soul, the reality of her being. Master. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And I suppose she knew by now that she had seen the reality of her own being. She had come in contact with her soul. Those in the depth of some deep sorrow break through the mist of material sense to the recesses of their inmost being. I've told you my story. You know, in the past, that I so hated myself that I would have Well, I tried to kill myself. Now, if that isn't deep sorrow, I don't know what is. And so in that deep sorrow, at 3 o'clock in the morning, when the whole city of Pasadena was asleep, I was awake on my front porch steps. And I finally, in deep sorrow, cried out, God, Jesus, Buddha, Christ, Cosmic Consciousness, Great Spirit, Father, anyone, anywhere, I will do anything if you show me how to live. And over the next 30 days, I watched the reality of me, my soul, the soul, become a reality, reaching right out into my life, moving things around, and putting everything in order. I came to see that there really was God. Only now it wasn't in this book, The Infinite Way. It wasn't in the art of meditation or practicing the presence. It was in Bill's life, moving things around. Bringing fulfillment, peace, harmony. And so he goes on to say, the exercise of the soul faculties results in breaking the illusion of sense. You see, she thought that the master had died. The master was crucified and was not there anymore. They must have taken the body somewhere. But, in deep sorrow, she reached within and said, Master. And behold, the Master was there all the time, within her. All human discords are products of material sense and are experienced through the five physical senses. That is, all mortal inharmonies are seen, heard, felt, tasted, or smelled, existing only in this material state of consciousness. Discords, disease, etc., have their being merely as false sense or illusion, though naturally seeming very real to the senses. Yes, it was very real that her master had been taken. But she came to see that the master was her very own being within. And I came to see the same thing. There are many means of securing temporary relief from erroneous conditions, but complete and final destruction of error comes only through the achievement and exercise of our faculties of the soul. When you stand in soul, you see with spiritual vision. When you stand in your own soul, you hear with the spiritual ear, the inner ear. When you stand in soul, well, you catch glimpses of reality and the reality of being. The soul is that part of man which lies buried deepest within him and is therefore seldom realized. Yes, it was deeper than the sepulcher, wasn't it? Deeper even than that. We use our mathematical faculties and our musical faculties, but much more than these are our ordinary business faculties, our sense of direction, and even an artistic sense. But hidden even deeper than these, yet within the reach of our own consciousness, lies the soul and its faculties. These soul faculties, when touched by us, come forth from within us and reach every avenue of our daily living, giving inspiration, beauty, peace, joy, and harmony to each moment. So, do we see that this vision here of Mary Magdalene coming to the sepulchre and being in deep sorrow made her move behind the scene that was in front of her? She was able to see and commune with her own soul, with the reality of her. This made her a great mystic. And if you've ever read some of the other books that aren't in the Bible, such as the Book of Thomas, and Mary Magdalene has a book too, in it you will see that she became a really deep mystic like John. So throughout the ages, the invitation has been extended to mankind to drink of this fountain of living waters. And every generation has produced many men and women who have found eternal youth and peace within themselves. Ever so often, one arises who has drunk more deeply at the fount of soul. And these seers have told of the kingdom within, and of the life that may be lived through grace when this consciousness is achieved. So many answer that they have great human duties to occupy all their time. Others require so much time for some pleasures or pastimes or recreations. Still others are immersed in accomplishing and acquiring. Well, that's what we're told in school, right? Finish this education and then get a secondary education. And if you can, get a master's degree. You will be master of something, and you will be able to make a really good living. Well, a decent living, anyway. And then you can acquire all those things you wanted, all those things you want. You can acquire a house. You can acquire an automobile. A good one. You can acquire a sailboat. You can put in a pool in your backyard. You can acquire an RV and go places with the family. You can acquire a second home or a third home. You can acquire so much property that you become a millionaire, even a billionaire. The only thing that you will miss out on is your own soul. More and more people are beginning to realize that freedom from fear, insecurity, and want, and ill health is not to be found in the material realm. Wars will not end wars. Investments will not ensure security from want. Medicines alleviate pain but do not produce real health. Some greater power must be tapped to give us the happiness and harmony and peace that is our birthright. Some greater power than can be found in the human body or the human thought. Yes, we are going to have to go deeper, deeper, deeper to the realm of soul. This power is available to everyone because it is already a part of our being. In fact, it is the greatest part of our being. As the iceberg reveals only a portion of itself in sight above water, so our human powers of body and mind represent not more than one-third of our powers and faculties. So we have two-thirds we haven't even seen yet, right? The powers of the soul are more real and tangible than any of the material powers of nature or invention. All right, if these powers of the soul are more real and tangible than any of the material powers of nature or invention, then they have to be more powerful than a hurricane, more powerful than a tornado, more powerful than an atom bomb. Soul forces act upon the human body to produce and maintain health and harmony. They touch every avenue of daily existence as protective influences and are the source of infinite supply. The soul conscious, that is, people who are consciously aware of soul, their soul, the reality of being, of this world, live an inner life of peace, joy, and dominion, and an outer life in complete harmony with itself and with all the world of men, animals, and things. They are in tune with their soul powers, and this constitutes their at-one-ment with all creation. Everyone may have access to the soul. It lies deep within the recesses of our own being. It lies deep within the tomb of mortality. It lies deep within the tomb of material sense. Deep within anything you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. Deep within that tomb is the soul. You might say it's behind that. Behind that veil. And when the veil is lifted, you behold the reality of being. You behold your soul. A good start may be made through the realization of the truth that there is more to human existence than corporeal health and material supply. When we catch a glimpse of the fact that more dollars, homes, or automobiles do not constitute supply, that more travel does not constitute recreation, that the absence of illness is not necessarily health, in other words, that my kingdom is not of this world, we are going in the right direction to discover the realm of soul. So that might be a principle to contemplate. My kingdom. This is your soul talking. The kingdom of soul. My kingdom is not of this material sense world. My kingdom is not of this world. Your soul lives in the kingdom. And the kingdom is not of anything or anyone in this world. So thinking that Jesus is the master and feeling deep sorrow when you believe that he has been taken away and you don't know where they've laid him. Imagine your surprise when you discover the kingdom within you. Your soul's kingdom. So, there is a soul force. This soul power can do more for us than all the material and mental power combined. But that is little suspected. Perhaps one of the reasons for the world's lack of interest in soul is that this great reservoir of power resident in our soul cannot be used for selfish purposes. Now, I discovered that in my early forms of prayer when I tried to demonstrate a new car. I tried to demonstrate a new girlfriend. I tried to demonstrate a new body. And I failed at all three. Because you cannot take prayer and manipulate your human life. My kingdom is not of this human life. Think of the enormity of this. A great, marvelous power at hand, and yet it can never be used to serve a selfish end. Herein lies the secret of why so few achieve soul consciousness. We only become aware of the presence of the soul after we have freed ourselves of selfish desires, and in proportion to our desire to serve the interests of mankind, do we individualize this infinite power within us. Now, I guarantee that when Mary was standing outside the tomb and weeping, she was in deep sorrow. She wasn't thinking, I wish I had better health, or I'd like to have another husband, or gee, I'd like to have a new home. She was thinking, where is my master? Deeply thinking about it. So much so that the master finally had to say, here I am, Mary. And as soon as it uttered her name, she knew, Master. It is right and natural and normal that we live full, happy, and prosperous lives. But we can do this without taking thought for ourselves, for our supply, or even our health. All of the good necessary to our welfare will be supplied to us in greater abundance than we could accept when we give up the effort and desire to get it, achieve it, or accomplish it, and come more into the consciousness of desiring only to fulfill our destiny on earth. Alright, so you cannot take soul or soul powers or soul faculties and rearrange things in your life so that you get the things you think you need. But you can say to that soul, I'm done with all that. I only want one thing. Thy will be done. What is my destiny on earth? We are here as part of a divine plan. We are consciousness fulfilling and expressing itself in an individual way. And if we will learn to keep our thought away from ourselves and away from the fear that we will be without place or income or health, and let consciousness fulfill its destiny through us or as us, we will really find all things added unto us. The Bible is literally true when it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and Son, all that I have is thine. There is no need, therefore, to take any anxious thought for our own well-being. As we forget ourselves and learn to be a state of receptivity, we will find ourselves filled with soul power, soul consciousness, or the conscious awareness of soul, soul resources, and our lives will be filled with the company of soul-filled men and women, sharing the joys of their discoveries with us. The consciousness, the mind that was in Christ Jesus, is not afar off, nor is it the mind of only a few great religious leaders. The mind that was in Christ Jesus is your consciousness, and it is ready to impart itself to you as you forget self and become receptive to the divine wisdom within you. The resources of your soul are waiting at the door of your consciousness, ready to pour forth more than you can accept, but not to satisfy some personal or selfish desire. These false desires are the stumbling blocks. We must not think to use our spiritual powers to gain personal and selfish ends. The song of the soul is freedom, joy, and eternal bliss. The song of the soul is love to all mankind. This song of the soul is you. Why are we so slow in gaining our freedom from illness, discord, and other material conditions? It is entirely because of our inability to grasp the great revelation that there is no reality to error. So much attention has been given to faith in God to do something for us, or to faith in a healer or a teacher, that we have overlooked the great truth. Error is not real. There is no matter. There's no matter. You do not have a material body. There's no matter. You do not live in a material world. There's no matter. You do not have a material body that is self-acting. There's no matter. This is a spiritual universe. And when you go deep enough within so that you find and experience your soul, the reality of your being, when you go deep enough to experience that, that will take over, supply you with every good and perfect gift. We are learning from physical scientists, as well as metaphysicians, that what has been termed matter is a misinterpretation of mind or consciousness. Consciousness is God, and God is spirit. Therefore, all that exists is spiritual substance. Regardless of the name or nature ascribed to it by finite sense. So it doesn't matter if your five senses say, here's a table. Because there is no matter. Well, what's really here? You have to get behind what your mind is telling you into the realm of soul and let your soul faculties or spiritual discernment reveal what's really here. This is a spiritual universe. What am I looking at? I get behind this material sense of things. What do I see? What do I feel? What do I hear? I see the divine kingdom of soul. I see soul power. I see soul love. God is the consciousness of individual. Therefore, all that can come to us as a person, thing, or condition is coming to us as consciousness. In consciousness and through consciousness, and God, consciousness, is the soul of every individual. God, principle, is the law of all action. God, spirit, is the substance of all of which we are conscious. So, spirit is the substance where I see and feel that. Through false education, which constitutes your finite sense, we have come to fear certain individuals, things, and conditions, not realizing that as these are coming to us through the avenue of consciousness, they are all God being, mind appearing, spirit substance. Material consciousness is the false finite sense which beholds the universe and man as limited, being both good and evil. Spiritual consciousness is the awareness of the individual as God being, as having only the consciousness which is God and the body of spirit. The entire universe is consciousness appearing, governed by divine principle. Spiritual consciousness is the ability to see behind the appearance to reality. It is the recognition and realization that as God is our consciousness, all that appears to us is in and of God, which is our only consciousness. Spiritual consciousness does not overcome or destroy matter or material conditions, but knows no such conditions exist which the senses are presenting. It translates the appearance for us, revealing the true nature of that which is appearing. Spiritual power emanates from the soul of you and the soul of me. It is impersonal and impartial. Everyone may open the windows of his soul and behold the infinite glories of a world far above the universe of sense. You see, there are two universes. There's the universe of sense, which is not a universe at all, because there is no matter. And so this universe of sense was never created. It was not made. All things were made by him, but the material universe was not made. There's nothing impractical about the development of our spiritual or soul powers. This uplifted consciousness enabled Moses to lead his people out of bondage and through the Red Sea into the awareness of abundance. Through Jesus, the soul healed the multitudes of their diseases, fed the multitudes with actual food, and raised the dead. Through Paul, it lifted a portion of humanity above the deepest sorrows and persecutions into Christ consciousness and spiritual freedom, or into soul consciousness. Spiritual consciousness lifts us above every human form of limitation and permits us to enter a larger sense of life, health, and freedom. Where there is spiritual consciousness, there is no bondage to person, place, nor thing, and there are no limitations to our accomplishments. So far as is known, Jesus never left a written word, and yet his teaching is the foundation of morals and ethics for much of the world. Many other seers left only the words spoken to their immediate followers, yet by their own power, these messages have become living waters through countless ages. The wisdom of the ages uttered by spiritually illumined men and women who never dreamed that their thoughts would circle the globe and influence the lives and conduct of people is not confined to time or place. The Christ-like thoughts that fill their consciousness go out from them like the ring created by throwing a stone in the water, making an ever-widening circle until it embraces all humanity. Yes, spiritual consciousness is practical. Our desire for affluence must be the desire for the other fellows of affluence before we can experience the grace which is the gift of God. Meditation is the door to the realm of the soul. Inspiration is the way. As we learn to take 5 or 10 minutes each morning, noon, and night to sit quietly with a listening ear, as we turn within ourselves and learn to wait for the still small voice, we acquire the habit of meditation and develop skill in its technique until inspiration possesses us and leads us to the haven of our soul. This is the beginning of our new birth, and here we learn the new tongue of spirit. Life begins to have a new meaning. And that is the end of this chapter. The next chapter is meditation, which he just mentioned is the secret to the whole thing. In meditation, we learn how to tune out those 5 senses and how to stand stock still within, awaiting the soul to announce itself. And the more proficient we become at listening, the more receptive we are. Until in a moment ye think not, the soul is revealed. And you may go down the road another week or two before realizing, wait a minute. I had a really good meditation last Saturday. I didn't think any more about it. I ask God each day how I may be of service. And the exact perfect job that I had been, well, earlier in my life, I dreamed that I would have it someday. And it came looking for me. I received a call. Did you apply at such and so? Well, yes, I did. That was last year, I think. Well, we'd like to talk to you. Can you come in on Thursday morning about 10 o'clock? Oh, yes, you bet you. I'll be there. Thank you. Now, that's the added thing which came as a result of listening, tuning in within. I let the soul powers I let them flow without outlining what I want them to be. And in the flowing, lo and behold, they become that perfect demonstration of the job I've always wanted. And it's a job serving mankind. It's a job in which I can serve the Father and His children. And this is how it works. In the beginning, you come within and perhaps you're looking for a car or a house or a spouse like I was, and it doesn't come. Something else comes. You might even be thinking, how could this come to me? I've been so faithful. I've prayed, meditated 3 times a day for the last 9 months. How could this thing come to me? And in absolute sincerity, and in deepest sorrow, the stone is rolled away. You look, and behold, the master is gone. Where is God? I can't find him anywhere. Suddenly, there's a presence, and that presence is soul. And that soul has soul faculties. It brings with it spiritual discernment so that I can be consciously aware of soul. And then the things are added. Now I'm beginning to enjoy life because I'm not building it. It's falling into place all by itself. Soul has come that you might have life and life more abundantly. That doesn't mean more dollars. It can. But life abundantly means every area. More health, more joy, more security, more abundance, more supply, more peace, more companionship, more grace, more love. Okay, well, this is Saturday, April 19th. Tomorrow is Sunday, April 20th. It is the anniversary of my mother's birth. And she's been gone from this plane of existence for, well, maybe 50 some odd years. It's also the anniversary of my wife's passing. And she's been gone for 2 years. It's also the anniversary of my coming into the awareness of soul some 52 years ago. So, I wish all of you the same conscious awareness that I have had of soul and soul powers, soul faculties. Have a wonderful, spirit-filled, soul-filled Easter. Let the soul of you be resurrected. Thank you. I suggest you study that John chapter 20. Because there is a lot packed in there. I can feel that there's some real significance of the linens and the napkin that wrapped his head being in 2 different locations. It hasn't been revealed to me yet, but I can feel there's significance there. So, take it, study it, contemplate it, live with it. Let it point to your own resurrection, the resurrection to your soul. And let it begin as your Easter experience this Sunday, the 20th of April, 2025. Thank you. Blessings. And I love you, truly.